first question comes from Carol Williams from the LA Times. Please go ahead.
Hi. I think my question is best on to Gloria. I wanted to know whether you have sensed any moves on the new administration's part to revisit the idea of sending the Cuban Five to Cuba as some sort of gesture of reconciliation, or any kind of review of their sentences for severity or, you know, excess.
Yes, well, as the speakers have indicated, and especially Jose Pepiedra in his comments, the Bush administration was extremely hostile and aggressive in the prosecution of the five, including in 2005, as you know, in August, the five had all their charges or their convictions overturned by the first step in the federal appeals court. And then the Bush administration pursued an appeal, and the convictions were reinstated. Now we see a new administration. There have been some a lot of discussion. There's so much in the news now, as you know, about the Congressional Black Caucus. It has been just returned from Cuba, of the worldwide call for the freedom of the five, of the call for the ending of the blockade. So we are hopeful that there will be a serious consideration by the government to have some sort of a gesture. Now, Jose Pepiedra has an article that's on our website called Gesture for Gesture. It's in Spanish and English, and I'd like him to talk more about that, about the historic precedent that was set in a previous exchange that was not openly an exchange. And we are hopeful that something can happen. However, we do have an excellent legal team that has filed the brief requesting that the court, the Supreme Court, accept the case for a hearing, and yet we are trying all avenues to see them free. There's not a day that they should remain in prison. So, Jose, can you speak about your the article that you wrote recently?
Sure. Carol, there is historical precedent for a exchange of prisoners between Cuba and the United States based not on a straight-up direct exchange, but on something that back in 1978 Fidel Castro referred to as a gesture without any linkage, just a unilateral humanitarian gesture. You can find these documents because they have been declassified, and they're out there. I mean, what I just quoted from Fidel Castro comes from
the prisoner release that Bernardo Benes negotiated.
No, I don't think it has anything to do with Bernardo Benes.
Okay.
What happened was there were four Puerto Rican independent fighters in the United States in prison, including the famous Lolita Lebron. They had been in jail for 24 years. And in Cuba, there were four individuals that the United States was interested in, all of them U.S. citizens, some of them directly linked to the Central Intelligence Agency. And Fidel, beginning in 1975, started to make overtures about a possible exchange without any linkage, what he called gesture for gesture, that the U.S. release the Puerto Ricans, and after a particular interval of time, Cuba would release the Americans. There was initial opposition to that in the Carter administration, particularly from Secretary Brzezinski, who at the time was heading, as you recall, the National Security Council. Peter Tarnoff and Robert Pastor were involved, and if you trace these documents, you see that they were able to convince Brzezinski that everybody had something to gain by this mutual release of prisoners, that the United States was being hammered at in international fora about the fact that they kept these Puerto Ricans imprisoned, and that it would be good to get rid of that as a tool of propaganda of the opposition. It was harming the Carter human rights policy internationally. And also the United States had a certain interest in getting these U.S. citizens back on U.S. soil. Now the situation is very similar. Now you have a situation where you have a new Democratic administration that, like the Carter administration, has been making overtures about normalization of relations with Cuba. There's a situation where you have five Cubans who've been in prison for over 10 years who didn't commit any violent acts. In contrast, the Puerto Ricans, as you recall, did commit violent acts. They shot up the House of Representatives in Blair House. As I recall, I think they even shot Gerald Ford in the buttocks. But nonetheless, the U.S. released them in 1979, and 10 days later, they got their four U.S. citizens back. The U.S. has expressed an interest in certain prisoners who are in Cuba, prisoners who every time anyone asks the Obama administration or even President Obama about normalization of relations, he always talks about a necessary condition for any sort of normalization would be for Cuba to release their political prisoners. And to Cuba, the political prisoners are the five. And to the United States, the political prisoners are the guys and women who are in jail in Cuba. And I think history is a guide, and it can tell us that if this happened before, back in 1979, and it was successful, then these prisoners could be released in Cuba and also released mutually in the United States, and the two countries can begin once more to talk.
Excuse me, to the operator, the call fell. It was disconnected with Radio Havana, and they just called me and asked to make a question. But if you could call them back, that would be good.
We're actually already dialing out to them. We noticed that the line dropped off, but the operator is on hold right now.
Oh, okay, thank you.
Carol,
any other questions?
Carol, this is Andres Gomez in Miami. Regarding your question, I think this question of giving freedom to the five is extremely important to the Cuban government and to the Cuban people, as it was stated publicly by President Raul Castro in Brazil last December. This question of the imprisonment of the five by the U.S. government is deeper than just the five, as you know. It is the involvement of the United States government since the early 60s in a campaign of state terrorism against the Cuban people. And I think that if the United States government, the present U.S. administration, is serious about normalizing relations with Cuba, one of the first things it has to do is to renounce the use of violence, the use of terrorism, as a means to achieve the destruction of the Cuban Revolution. And one way to do that is first to release the five, and second, to bring to justice all those involved in terrorist activities against the Cuban people and others here in the United States of the right-wing Cuban community in Miami.
The next question comes from David Brooks from La Jornada. Please go ahead.
Thank you. It's just a quick question as to whether anybody, and especially Jose Pertierra, are there any concrete indications from the new administration that they are willing to do this seems like an implicit recognition that there's a shift in the position of the government, but are there any other indications that you might point out that the government is now ready to pursue the Posada Carriles case on the issue of his involvement with international terrorism?
David, this is, I think, the first step. This is the first indication that we have of how the Obama administration is looking at the Posada case. And as a first step, it is a wonderful first step, but it is only a first step. It is the first time they link him to international terrorism, and because of that, it is significant. But as I said before, there are consequences to that. You don't simply say that he lied and hid the fact that he was involved in international terrorism and hid the fact that he hired this Salvadoran assassin to go to Cuba to kill Fabio Di Chelmo. You have to follow up with that. And the follow-up means they have to indict Posada Carriles for the murder of Fabio Di Chelmo. They have to either extradite him to Venezuela or prosecute him in the United States for 73 counts of first-degree murder in relation to the downing of the plane. These are concrete steps that have to be taken. I notice that April 17 is not simply the anniversary of the Bay of Pigs, but is also the first day of the Summit of the Americas. And I would suspect that the Obama administration has been thinking ahead of how it is going to present itself to the world and to Latin America on April 17 with relation to the American War on Terror, the so-called War on Terror, if the United States is sheltering an international terrorist. So we welcome this as a first step, but Venezuela insists he must be extradited and he must be prosecuted for murder and not simply perjury.
Thank you.
Once again, if there are any questions, please press star then one on your touchtone phone at this time. Ms. Lariva, it looks like there are no further questions. Did you want to make any closing comments?
Well, Radio Havana Cuba was wanting to make a question, so if we could wait and see if they get connected, that would be good.
While we're waiting, in back to Carol's question about the possible political or exchange of prisoners between the two countries, the language of those documents that have been declassified is very revealing. It shows that that the United States was interested for its own political reasons in releasing these folks, and these same reasons are applicable today in the case of the five. You notice this is Brzezinski speaking in a memo back in 1979. He said that commuting the sentences of the Puerto Ricans would be welcomed as a compassionate and humanitarian gesture, and their release will remove from the agenda of the United Nations, the non-allied movement, and other international fora a propaganda issue which is used each year to criticize the U.S. and is increasingly used as an example of the inconsistency of our human rights policy. And then Robert Pastor, also the Carter administration, makes a similar point. He says, I've come to believe, this is after he does a cost-benefit analysis of releasing these guys, and he says, I've come to believe that the risks of releasing the Puerto Rican nationalists unconditionally are minimal, while the benefits as a humanitarian, compassionate gesture are considerable. And I think this is the key. You can't condition the release of prisoners. You can't have it be a quid pro quo. The way it worked in 1979 was the United States unconditionally and for humanitarian reasons released the Puerto Ricans. And then, 10 days later, Cuba released the Americans.
Radio Havana's line
Hello?
Is now open. If there is a question, please go ahead.
Yeah, thank you. This is Lena Valverde from Radio Havana, Cuba. Thank you all for this opportunity and for your excellent presentation. My question is addressed specifically to lawyer Jose Becerra. How does pending move by Washington affect the extradition request submitted by Venezuela to try Posada in the South American nation for what he really is, a notorious terrorist? And does this new development change in any way the expressed intention of Venezuelan President Hugo Chavez to raise the Posada Carriles issue during the upcoming summit of the Americas in Trinidad and Tobago? Thank you.
Well, you know, this is a very good question. The indictment in El Paso does not touch on the issue of the extradition of Posada Carriles, and Venezuela continues to insist that he ought be extradited to stand trial for 73 counts of first-degree murder in Caracas or prosecuted in the United States for those 73 counts of first-degree murder. He's only being charged with perjury and false declarations. He's not being charged with murder or any acts that he may have committed that are terrorist in nature. He obstructed justice, says the prosecutor, by failing to disclose what he knew. Now, what he knows is that he received money from terrorists in the United States. With that money, he hired a number of terrorists in Central America, and he sent them to Cuba with explosives. Those explosives blew up some of the finest hotels and restaurants in Cuba, terrorizing the population, terrorizing the tourist industry, but also killing in cold blood Fabio Di Chelmo, Livio's brother, Livio, who's on this call with us. And Venezuela insists on not only that the United States extradite Posada, but also that it bring an indictment in New Jersey against Posada for the murder of Fabio Di Chelmo and for terrorism. It is a good first step, but it ought not be considered a final step or even as a second step. So President Chavez in Trinidad on the 17th will continue to insist, as he has done from the beginning, that this terrorist be brought to justice for murder and not simply for lying.
The next question comes from Carol Williams from the LA Times. Please go ahead.
I just wanted to know whether Andres has experienced any change in the Cuban exile community in Florida since the Obama administration took office. Is there any more willingness to accept that the relationship is going to change between Washington and Havana?
Carol, for years, the Cuban American community in Miami has changed in respect to this question. And it has changed because demographically, the Cuban American community in Miami has changed significantly for what it was 20 years ago, 15 years ago. The arrivals of thousands of legal Cuban immigrants into the United States and residing here in Miami has changed that, because the vast majority of them would like to see the possibility of their normal relationship with their families and with Cuban society in general. The fact that the supplementary budget bill was passed in the Congress with the provisions, the amendments added by Congressman Serrano that forced Treasury to implement the old restrictions before 2004 and leave the other restrictions, the 2004 restrictions, completely void, is a sign from the Obama administration that it is in the way of fulfilling his commitment made during the campaign to lift all travel restrictions to Cuban Americans to be able to travel to Cuba. But that, of course, is not enough. We are demanding as well the lifting of all restrictions to the rest of Americans to be able to fulfill their rights to travel anywhere, including Cuba. And the change is obvious in the Cuban-American community in many respects, not only in respect to travel, but in respect of the possibility of the ending of the embargo and the normalization of relations between both the United States and Cuba.
The next question comes from Tom Brown from Reuters. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thanks. I have two questions, actually. One for Mr. Di Chelmo and another for Mr. Pertierra. For Mr. Di Chelmo, I was just wondering if you ever had any response at all from Eric Holder and to your letters that you said you sent him.
Have not received any answer back. My father had even sent in the previous administration when I believe his name was Gonzalez, the original, a few years ago. Also, our family sent a letter to the Attorney General at that time, and we never got a reply.
Okay, thanks very much. And for Jose, I was just wondering if you could fill us in on the background of your affiliation with the government of Venezuela. How long have you been representing them, and are you in direct contact with the president's office regarding what he might have to say in Trinidad, or are you just speaking on, you know, from your knowledge of the news such as it is.
I have been representing the government of Venezuela in the extradition case of Luis Posada Carriles since early June of 2005. I was involved in the preparation of the request for extradition, and I've been representing the government ever since. I speak on a constant basis with the foreign minister and the foreign minister's office, as well as the attorney general of Venezuela concerning this case. This morning I spoke to the foreign minister of Venezuela about this case. He is traveling. He is not in Caracas. I spoke to him by cell phone. You know, I can tell you that the case of Posada Carriles will be a case that will be dealt with at the summit in Trinidad, that the government of Venezuela makes it a top priority in its dealings with the United States, because it involves a question, not just a political question, but it involves legal questions. There are legal obligations on the part of the United States to honor international conventions and treaties. And there is a treaty between the United States and Venezuela dating all the way back to 1922 that obligates the United States to extradite Posada Carriles for murder. And there's also an international convention signed by the United States and signed by Venezuela. It's called the Montreal Convention. It deals with the protection of civilians in passenger airlines that are subject to terrorism. And that convention obligates the United States to either extradite Mr. Posada or prosecute him for those 73 counts of first-degree murder. President Chavez and Foreign Minister Nicolas Maduro have been very adamant about this topic since Posada Carriles arrived in the United States. And that is not going to change because of this indictment. And President Chavez has declared publicly already that he is prepared to raise this issue in Trinidad. And I have no indications that he is going to do otherwise.
And how lastly, do you say that this is a positive step by the administration, when it's really a grand jury down in El Paso and not the administration itself that's doing all this?
Well, as you know, the whether or not to bring an indictment depends on the prosecutor. The prosecutor works for the Department of Justice, headed by Eric Holder. This is the executive branch of the United States government. We think that no indictments like this were brought previously by the Bush administration for political reasons. I think legally and in terms of evidence, it's an indictment that should be brought. The case, the immigration case that arose back in 2005 should be reopened. The decision of Judge Abbott should be annulled, and that would expose Posada Carriles not only to extradition to Venezuela, but to deportation to Venezuela. It is a crime that an immigration judge was blinded by false testimony and by the collusion of the prosecutors at that time, and that important information was withheld from this judge, and that's the only reason that he found for Posada on the issue of Convention Against Torture Relief, finding preposterously that he could be tortured, or that there was a clear probability that he would be tortured if returned to Venezuela. And Venezuela has always contested that. We have always maintained that that was a circus and a sham, and I think that this indictment shows that we were right. And we're glad that the United States government has taken this step. We welcome that step, and we ask for more. We ask for consequential steps that have to do with a major premise of this indictment.
All right, thank you, sir.
Mm-hmm. Would anybody else like to? Yes.
I'm sorry. At this time, we don't have any further questions. Did you want to go ahead and make any further comments at this time?
No. Does anybody else want to make any closing comments? Basically, we want to also let the press know that we will issue any new developments, and there all the information, historical information since Posada's arrival, as well as the case of the Cuban Five, is on the website freethefive.org. Five is spelled out, and we will also have the government motions and the legal documents that have just been issued. Again, it was by the worldwide pressure, the pressure in Cuba and in the United States, that the struggle to extradite Posada to Venezuela and to get justice for all of his victims is still alive, very much alive. We will be in El Paso to follow the hearing and the court trial with protest as well.